about to begin the next sugya of Borah. Apology in terms of the Marmakomas. I thought they were around, but hopefully by tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem, they'll make it here. So the previous sugya of Borah, we basically developed one basic principle, and that is what is necessary for a Borah Shah to even get off the ground. Not everything is considered to be a ta'aroves, a mixture, which would necessitate us even beginning to discuss the details of Borah. But finally, hopefully, after three or four shiur, we figured out what we think is perhaps a tarovas. So now we have a tarovas on the table. Whatever you want to call the tarovas, whether it's oichlem psoles, whether it's objective oichlem psoles, whether it's subjective oichlem psoles, whether it's food, whether it's kalim. Again, all the nuances in the previous. So again, the bottom line is we have something that we're about to label as being a tarovas. Now the question is, what exactly is considered to be an act of boira that is prohibited and what is not? So the Gemara of Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph introduces to us a possible distinction between what's called taking the oichel from the psoles in contrast to taking the psoles from the ochel. If you take the good from the bad, so that's significantly better in terms of oichel's boira. If you take the bad from the good, that's a much more serious problem. Now the Gemara is back and forth in Shach Matayu whether that particular distinction actually is useful in analyzing a certain brisa. There's a brisa that appears in Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph that speaks about Borah sometimes being Osir, sometimes being Mutar. And the Gemara suggests as a possibility that the answer is, the key factor is, what you're taking from what. At the end, on technical grounds, the Gemara rejects that as an interpretation of the Braisa. We'll see Reth Shem hopefully tomorrow, we'll see it inside. But the Braisa doesn't really mean that. That particular Braisa, Chazal referred to, happens not to be highlighting the Eichel, Psolus, Eichel distinction. But the distinction is still true. Whether or not it's technically, textually correct and the Braisa is irrelevant, halachically it is correct. That there is a real distinction between Eichel versus Psolus. Eichel versus Psolus is Mutar. I said that we're not going to get the Marmar Kovos till tomorrow. I said, Baruch Hashem, I'm going to jump the gun. Okay. So the... Okay. At least the share brachas we move toward, that's for sure. So people are not here, we're listening online, so there's a little bit of a technical difficulty. It's the Marmar Kovos, but now we're all set, ready to continue the shiur. So again, so we mentioned that at least at one stage, the Gemara throws out the possibility that there's a difference between Ochel Mitav Psolos being less of a problem of Borer, in contrast to Psolos Mitav Ochel. And the question is, what exactly is that based on? What's that all about? Why should there be such a distinction? So conceptually, one can understand that in one of two ways. Why should we possibly, and I use the word very hesitantly, possibly distinguish between taking good from the bad and contrast the bad from the good? So one can understand this, that maybe this is a halacha that's limited to Ochus Boira. This distinction, this seemingly arbitrary distinction, has something to do with Ochus Boira proper. There's something unique in Ochus Boira that dictates to us that there's a distinction how you do the malacha. If you do it this way, that way, one way, it's mutu, one way, it's also. But it's basically a Boira-oriented halacha. Or maybe we could argue, you know, that maybe this distinction, whether you're taking good from bad, bad from good, is not really rooted in Hilchos Beira. This is some kind of call of Hilchos Shabbos klal. This is related to something. Maybe it's related to some principle of Melachshe Tzrich L'Gufa. Maybe it's related to some principle of Psik Reisha. Maybe it's related to some principle of Shlo Kederach. We have to identify what that principle is. But it's not really a Beira issue. It's not a limited, unique Hilchos Beira. It's just a manifestation of an otherwise present klal Hilchos Shabbos. So we have a lot of ambiguity here. Don't feel bad because there's a lot of ambiguity in Hilchos Beira altogether. So we're working with a klal that we think exists, not 100% sure it exists, but we think the klal exists, that Ochem Etop Solos is better than Solos Echol, but we don't really have a clue why this should be so. We're suspecting that it may be something unique to Beira, but we're not sure what that is. Or maybe it's not unique to Beira. Maybe it's called Hilchos Shabbos type of a klal, and we're not sure what that is either. So besides the fact that we have three things that we're not sure about, otherwise we should be crystal clear at this point in this year. So it's really those issues that we're going to try to be, no pun intended, that's a good line, be mifarer as the shiur goes on. That wasn't planned, that pun on the word Beira. Okay. So the Rishonim begin to discuss this klal in light of the second of the Marmakamos. We'll pick up from the second of the Marmakamos in Shabbos, Kufla Mechetzim and Aleph. The Gemara is discussing a question. Hopefully we're going to talk about this a little bit more later on. But the Gemara is discussing an issue of straining wine on Shabbos. The fact that one is not permitted to strain wine on Shabbos as a given, the Gemara says, Beferish Meshamer is Chayev Chatos, so it's an absolute Issa D'Oraisa. What is not clear is why Meshamer is also. Which Av Melocha? Meshamer is not an Av Melocha. It's a Tolda. So which of the Avos Melochas is the Isser of straining wine derived from? So Mishumai Masrinan Bein. So the Gemara presents the question not just as an academic question, but in terms of practical Lamaisa, which Melocha of Hasra should we give a person? Which Melocha should we want a person for if we see a person straining wine? So see a guy straining wine on Shabbos, I'm about to give him Hasra, he's going to be Chayav Misa. I have to warn him. I have to tell him the right thing. If I tell him don't cook on Shabbos, that's a meaningless statement. I have to tell him exactly what he's violating. So if you may remember back to the very beginning of the year, we quoted 2 days in Tosfos as to what exactly is even the suffix of the Gemara. According to one opinion in Tosfos, when you see a person doing a tolda on Shabbos, you must warn him b'shem ha'av. You can't just tell him don't do the following derivative, don't do the following tolda. You have to identify what the av is. The halacha requires that hasura be nikra shema av. So that's one day in Tosfos says, the Gemara makes a lot of sense, that we must identify the av. If we don't identify the av, then we can't give him the proper hasura. The second, more popular day in Tosfos says, no. In theory, you can give him hasura b'shema tolda. If you say to the guy, don't strain wine on Shabbos, that's a perfectly legitimate hasura. You don't have to give Hasra b'shem ha'av, you can give b'shem ha'tod. But if you choose to give it b'shem ha'av, which you didn't have to, but if you choose to do so, then you better make sure you get the right av. Because if you say to the person who's straining wine, oh, by the way, don't carry on Shabbos, that's a meaningless statement. So again, according to one day in Tosfos, you must give b'shem ha'av, and therefore it's critical to identify the av. According to the second day in Tosfos, you didn't even have to give b'shem ha'av. We don't have to identify the b'shem ha'av, but if you chose to give it, then you better make sure you get the right one. So no matter how you slice it, we're interested in finding out what the av malach of straining is. Mishumai masrinan bein. So Rabba Amar Mishum Beirer, Rabbi Zeira Amar Mishum Merakid. So Rabba says, Yechaya Mishum Beirer, and Rabbi Zeira says, Yechaya Mishum Merakid. Beirer just simply means to separate, which is in fact what you're doing. You're separating the dregs from the wine. Merakid is the malach of sifting, like you sift flour. So here, in a certain sense, you're instead of sifting the flour from the pebbles or whatever it is from the coarser grain. Here, you're sifting, you're straining the good wine from the dregs. So Rabbi Zeira says that's closer to Meraki than it is to Beira. So what's the issue? Amar Rabba, Kavasei Didi Mistamra. So Rabba says what I'm saying is correct. That Mishamer is closer to Beira. Why is it closer to Beira? Ma Darko Shel Beira Notel. Just as Borer, you take the good and you leave the bad behind. So to over here, when it comes to straining wine, you're taking out the good wine's coming through, and you're leaving behind the dregs. So that was Rabba's mushel, that if you think about it, even though wine and dregs is a liquid, there's a strainer, whereas Borer is pebbles and flour. It's a different model. But the basic fundamental similarity is there. That is, you note the lasa ochel, u'meniyeches apsolos. So we're not going to go too much further in this part of the sugya in terms of Misham. We're going to hopefully save that when we get to the malacha of Meraked. But for our purposes, it's that line of Rabbah that's very, very concerning. Rabbah is comparing Mishamir to Borer, and he's trying to highlight the line, the critical component of Borer. If you had a really crystal clear defined Borer, Rabbah did it in one line. You're taking the good and you're leaving behind the bad, which is a red flag, because that's the exact opposite of how we just defined Borer. We started off the sugya by saying that you want to know what real Borer is. Real Borer is removing the bad and thereby leaving behind the good. And whereas if you take the good and leave the bad, we're not even sure that's also the first place. So all of Yishev Abba with this kasha, how could Rabbi define the very essence of Borer as the antithesis of what we thought Borer was all along? So comes Tosfos in the third of the Rambam Kamos and asks on our sugya, on the Fayin Dal, which is really our sugya, comes Tosfos and asks, Bar v'yachal echmetach psos mashma. From the first sugya that we said about Be'er, the first sugya sounds mashma, the echa b'tach psoles, ein derech b'er b'kach. It sounds like when you take good from bad, that's not so bad. That's not terrible. That's not called derech b'er. V'kosha, the bereish prek tolin amrinan, madarka shal b'er, b'er v'ech b'tach psoles, against the Pharisee Gemara. When the Gemara says taking the good is classic b'er. The Yeshlama says to us, here's the difference. The Hossam b'psolus b'ruba la'ochel havi ochem et ha'psolus derech b'reira, the Hossam b'sham ha'ayre. Says to us, the answer to the question is taking good from bad, b'reira or not? The answer is, it depends. What does it depend on? One basic cloud. Tosfos is working with one basic assumption about human nature. People are lazy. And therefore, people want to do whatever is the easiest way to do it. If I have a lot of good and a little bad, the easiest way to separate it is to remove the little bit of bad. If I have a lot of bad and a little good, the easiest way to separate it is to remove the little good. So says Tosfos, you want to know the answer to the question is, what's called Borer? The answer is, whatever the Olam does, whatever is normal, whatever people would do on Tuesday, that's what you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. Whatever a person wouldn't do on Tuesday, that can't be Malach Deraisa. That's called Kiliachayat. So now Tosfos plugs that principle into the details. It just says, depends. If I have a lot of good and a little bad, what would I do on Tuesday? I want to eat this food. My goal is to eat the food. I have a lot of raisins and one or two peanuts. I don't like peanuts. A lot of raisins and two peanuts. What would I do on Tuesday? I would pick up those two peanuts and throw them out. So if I do that on Shabbos, that's called Borer. When there's a lot of good, a little bad, removing the bad is the normal. What if it's the other way around? What if I have a lot of bad? I got 100 peanuts in there and two raisins, and I only want the raisins. What would I do? Would I sit and throw away all the peanuts? I'm sugar, nothing better to do with my time. I would just pick out the two good ones. That would be classic Borer on Tuesday. That becomes also B'toras Borer on Shabbos as well. So Tosfos says the answer to the question is, is there an absolute rule called ochel psolos ochel? The answer is no. The absolute rule is, it depends on whatever the norm is during the week. That's what's also on Shabbos. So we see clear from Tosfos the answer to our question. We had a question, what's the nature of this distinction between ochel versus psolos ochel? Is this the hilchas b'rishayla, or is this the hilchas shabbishayla? The answer is, this is regular Shabbos. This is the regular rules. Tosfos says, darkel shabayra. The regular rules that we know from Chayrus, Arei, Koytze, whatever rules govern Uchas Shabbos, namely normal versus abnormal, those are the rules that govern Uchas Beirah as well. There is nothing unique about Uchas Beirah that's pointing us to do one thing over the other. It is merely, it's just a regular question of, is it Kederach or is it not Kederach? 50-50, I don't know. You'd have to ask the oil, whatever the oil does then.
So why isn't the model based on Migdash? Why is the model that, you know...
Well, we know that Borer was done in the building of the Mishkan. So we know for a fact it was Borer done. Now, Hilchos Shabbos kicks in and says, well, whenever you do something in a normal manner, and it normally changed from time to place. We spoke about this also in the past. And, you can have something that was not normal in the days of building the Mishkan, but has become normal now. So the definition of normal can change. So here, the Tosfos is saying, you just have to ask the Olam, whatever they're doing on Tuesday, you're not allowed to do on Shabbos, as long as it's within the framework of Borer. So comes the Ramban, the fourth of the Rambam Kamos, and asks the same question of Tosfos, and gives a very, very different answer. Some will ask, that's the Gemara that we said before. For Hacham Rinan, whereas in Shabbos and Dal we say the Derech Bera Lito Psalos B'Dach Eichel. So again, the original Kash of Tosis. But Lav Kushi, he says the Ramban. The Ha Amran Sheaf B'Beir Eichel Mitach Psalos Mashkachas Chiyuva B'Nafal Kvaras. Says the Ramban, we totally misunderstood the Gemara about straining wine. When the Gemara said that Madarker shel Boirer is taking the good from the bad, the Gemara didn't mean that that's the definition of Boirer. What the Gemara meant is that every once in a while you can have a case where taking good from bad is a problem. When is that? So the Gemara here in Shabbos Ayin Dalet says that if you do it with a kli, if you do it with a utensil, you do it with a strainer, you do it with a sifter, that all bets are off. That everything is chayim. Even if you take good from bad, bad from good, doesn't matter what you do. If you do bar with a kli, ein lecha bar gadol mizeh. So comes the Ramban and says all the Gemara they meant was for hasam nam yachi gamar. Af im asu be mishum bar hasra asra asra. The ika bar the dami lucky go nech with upsolas. The Gemara didn't mean to say that bar is always nech with upsolas. The Gemara just meant to say that every once in a while you get chapmarai in a case of bar nech with upsolas. Therefore, mishamer and bar are civil to one another. Remember the goal of the Gemara there was just to show you that Mishamer and Borer are pretty close to one another. Because Rabbi was trying to show you that you can give Hasra for the person who's straining his wine and say to him not to be Borer. What's the connection between Borer and Mishamer? Because every once in a while, Borer is chayiv if you take the Urcham Ipsalas. But that's every once in a while. That's if you do it with a Kli. But regular classic Borer, so classic Borer is usually Psalas B'Eichel. And if you're not using a Kli, if you take Urcham Ipsalas, that's going to be Mutter. So comes the Ramban and says, and why am I so convinced that that this is true? That there's something unique about Boira, that Boira somehow is supposed to be, 99% of the time, Boira is defined as bad from good. So if you skip down, it's three lines, four lines to the end of the Ramban. The last word of the line is V'afagav. V'afagav the Tervayu Derech Boira Ninu. Even though, says the Ramban, both Oichel Mitach Psolos, or Psolos Mitach Oichel, are really Kederech, not like Taisa said, they're really Kederech, B'Shabbos B'Teira Tachinon, B'Isura Lo Tachinon. When it comes to Shabbos, so you want to know what's called Borer, you have to go after the good stuff. If you take away the good stuff, that's okay in Shabbos. If you're aiming for the bad stuff, then that's considered to be a problem. Sisre Teira, what's the difference? Beter means you have to be dealing with the good stuff. If you're taking the food away from the bad, that's okay on Shabbos. If you're pushing away the bad from the good, that's a problem on Shabbos. Why is that? The Ramban's very unclear. So if you take a look at the next that the Ramban comes, the fifth that the Ramban comes, the Chiddush Aran. The Chiddush Aran of Masechta Shabbos happened not to have been written by the Ran. It was mistakenly subscribed to the Ran, but it was unclear who exactly wrote it. So the it's still called the Yeshiva, it's still called the Chiddush Aran, because for 500 years it said on the Chiddush Aran. So if you take a look at the back of the page, so the Ran says, the top line, Kishahu ocha mitoch psoles, Eino ella derech achila de betera osik. Comes the Ran and says that's the punchline. Those are the two words that are going to take us through the rest of the sugya. Says the Chiddush Aran, basically echoing the idea of the Ramban, taking good from bad is basically not borer. It's not because it's normal, not normal. That's not the factor. Because that's called a new category. It's labeled derech achila. Derech achila and not derech malacha. Whatever is considered to be part of eating is mutter. Whatever is considered to be derech malacha is a problem. So like some of the later posts can point out, whenever you eat your boirer, you stick something into your mouth, so you're swishing around the food, you separate the good food, you're going to stay, spit out some boirer and be ochel together, go hand in hand. So at what stage do you say that something is considered to be just a introduction to the eating process? And at what point do you say this is called derech malacha? So that's the factor of ochel versus psoiles. So according to the Ramban and according to the Chiddush Aran, it's irrelevant whether there's a lot of eichel, there's a little bit of eichel. The real factor of chesboyer is, are you doing it derech achila, or are you doing it derech breir, derech malacha? So now we have a major machlokes tesis against the Ramban and the Ran. What's the nature of this distinction? This kula, this chiddush in Hilchos Beira that Oichmet HaPsolas is better than the other way around, what exactly is that all about? So according to Tosfos, it's nothing unique to Hilchos Beira, and it's not even an absolute statement according to Tosfos. It's going to change according to the makeup of the Taravis. According to Tosfos, this is a Kol HaTorah Kula, Kol HaHilchos Shabbos Shaila. If it's normal, it's asur. If it's abnormal, then it's mutter. Most of the time, you can have more urcha than psolas. So most of the time, taking psolas is going to be more of derech b'ira than the other way around, but not an ironclad rule. According to the Ramban and the Ran, it has nothing to do with most of the time. It has nothing to do with normal b'ira patterns. There is an official halachic criteria called derech achila in contrast to derech b'ira. Derech achila is b'hetera katachinan, and therefore it's mutter. Derech Beirer is be'isura katarchinan, removing the bad is derech malacha, and therefore it's problematic. La halacha, in Shulchan Aruch, we pask it like the Ramban and the Ran. There is no difference quoted in Shulchan Aruch between a lot of eichel, little eichel, a lot of psalms, little psalms. We assume that the numbers are irrelevant. The derech is not really important. What's really important are these new two criteria called derech achila, in contrast to derech malacha, derech Beirer. Once we...
No.
Well, there is a concept of derech achila, at least by Borer. Whether it's going to spill over to some malachas is going to be questionable. Others, it's clearly not going to spill over. No one's going to tell you you're allowed to cook food on Shabbos because it's called derech achila. We're going to see which malachas it may. Some malachas it may carry over and some not. Once we've given a halachic categorization to this principle of oichel versus psalos, psalos versus oichel, that it's not so much the details that are important, but it's the halachic parameters that are much more important, we now are able to introduce the possibility. What would we say in the following scenario? What if you have a case that's physically, practically psalos be oichel, but for whatever technical reason, we could still call it derech achila? We can come up with some kind of a scenario where, in front of our eyes, it looks like psalos b'yerchel, but if you analyze it a little deeper, you'll realize, yes, it's true that it's psalos b'yerchel, but this happens to be derech achila. So that it could be a become mutter. Because there is no halacha b'ashu b'sinai, eichel, psalos, psalos, eichel. The real halacha is nikva, the real halacha is established based on these categories of derech achila versus derech b'orer. So with this background, we can now begin to analyze a Yerushalmi. Much, much, much ink has been spilt about this Yerushalmi. It's quoted in the sixth of the Marat Makomos. We'll look at it from the Beis Yosef, who quotes it for us. The Beis Yosef in Simen Shin Chaf Aleph quotes, Kasina b'Yerushalmi perek la'gadol, Hayman d'shochik tuma. If a person, they give you the brackets, what that means, perisha kotesh shumim, if a person... chops up garlic. The person who chops up is removing the heads of the garlic, he's chay mishum dash. We're not going to focus on the dash part yet. That's the part that we want. Where he's now removing the garlic from the peels, chay mishum bayrer. That's the part that we're interested in. So the Yerushalmi says something about removing, separating the garlic and the peels. They're going to be chayav mishum bayrer. And the question is, can we even accept this Rishami? This Rishami doesn't appear anywhere in the Bavli. Is this a valid application of Halachas Beirer, or is there something problematic, something questionable with this Rishami? So if we take a look at the seventh of the Marat Makomos, in Beitza Daf Yud Gimel in Beis, the Gemara is discussing peeling of barley. So not garlic, but peeling of barley. So I guess in the olden days, the guy would peel off the peel of the barley and munch on the barley. So the Gemara tells a story, it's second line in. V'arav makalfalei divisu kase kase. Rabbi Chiya makalfalei divisu kase kase. They're both Rav and Rabbi Chiya. They were related. They were Rav was Rabbi Chiya's nephew. So they both liked the peeled barley treats. And each one of their wives would prepare for them on Shabbos. So Rav was sitting there and learning Shabbos afternoon. And his wife was peeling the little pieces of barley. Mekafle Deviso. His wife would give a little piece of barley one at a time. And Rabbi Chiya had the same treat. Rav grew up in Rabbi Chiya's home. So I guess he learned it from his uncle to the modern day version of the munching on the garinim, in Israel, sunflower seeds. So they would peel off the barley and each one would eat it. So come all the Acharei would say, Gavalt. How could you peel the barley? What's the difference in peeling the barley and peeling the garlic? Isn't that a shallot? It's the deraisa, it's a shallot bayra. So how do you explain away the Gemara Maseches Beitza? It seems to say that peeling of barley and presumably the peeling of the garlic is also okay. Whereas Rishalmi uses a very, very strong lashon. Rishalmi says, chayav mishum bayra. So how do you resolve the answer to this question? So there are many, many different approaches to this problem. First, we're going to talk about the ones that are not going to impact in our particular shaila. We want to just clear the air, make sure we at least we know what we're talking about in terms of the Rishalmi, and then we're going to get hopefully to the punchline in terms of the Oichel Pseles Pechel Oichel equation. So one very, very simple approach to this problem is to say that it's a machlokes. Not the first, not the last machlokes. So the Behalacha claims that that's what the Rambam says. The Rambam nowhere quotes the Din of Yerushalmi about peeling garlic. So the Behalacha says, the Rambam probably held that it's a machlokes. The sugya is that the Bavli held that it wasn't the problem of Bayer, and Yerushalmi held it was a problem of Bayer. And we have a rule, whenever machlokes Bavli and Yerushalmi, you always follow the Bavli and Shoy. So if you take that approach, with that's a Rambam, okay, the Rambam doesn't tell you exactly that. The Rambam never tells you why he did or didn't say something. But with the Bria Mishnah Berurah is guessing, but that's the Rambam. For the fact that the Rambam left it out, it's most probably that the Rambam held that it's a machlokes of sugyos, and therefore he opted for the Gemara in Maseches Beitza for the Bavli. If that is true, that it's a machlokes of sugyos, what is the machlokes? So kind of arbitrary machlokes is that called bayir, not called bayir. So the chora, the reason why one would probably believe that it's not called bayir is based on the first series of shirim that we gave about Hilchos Bayir. There was one term that kept on repeating itself in terms of Hilchos Bayir, and that is the issue of a ta'arivis. You have to have a mixture. Like, we weren't 100% sure how to define a mixture. Is a mixture one min, two min, an objective, subjective, halachic? So there are a lot of factors that go into defining a mixture. But one thing is clear: if it's not ma'uruf yachad, it's not bayir. Like we said last week. I have paper on the table, I have this on the table. This is not a ta'arivis. These are five things that are next to each other. Not ma'uruf biyachad. One could argue that when you have a peel surrounding a food, what's the taroidus? It's one on top of something else. It's A on top of B. It's not ma'ura biyachad. There's no taroidus between the two. And maybe that's the reason why the Bavli held that this is nothing to do with what kind of bayir is that? What is peeling barley, or for that matter, peeling garlic, or peeling bananas, or peeling oranges? What does that have to do with bayir? The two things are not ma'ura biyachad, and therefore there's no issue whatsoever. If that's the case, so then there's very, very little to discuss about this Rishami, because it just got rejected l'halacha. If we're right that that's really the reason why the Bavli rejected it, it still behooves us to explain, so why did the Rishami accept it? How could, did the Rishami... Yeah, Maram in Herzl didn't come to the show this week. We spoke about it for a whole week. We showed you from Makairis. It's got to be a Tarevis, not a Tarevis. What you have to speak about, Bayram? So, Rav Shlomo Zalman is quoted by the Shem Shabbos Gechosa suggesting that even though the peel on a food is not a classic Tarevis, it doesn't look like it's really Ma'ur of Yachad, but there is something that it has that other Tarevis don't have, namely, it's naturally stuck together. It may not be ma'uruf biyachad, but it's medubach biyachad. It's stuck to one another. The peel is connected. You have to literally peel it off. So Shlomo Zalman wanted to suggest that even though it doesn't look like a taroves in the classic sense of the word, maybe it meets the criteria of Hilchas taroves, dafka, because it's actually stuck together. So maybe that's good for the machlekes, the Bavli, and the Rishalmi. That everybody agrees you need a taroves. Everybody agrees this is not quite a taroves. The question is, can we still label it as a taroves or not? So maybe that's the issue. But again, if that's true of our analysis with the Bir Halacha and the Rambam and Shlomo Zalman, if that whole approach to the sugya is correct, that the Bavli ultimately rejects this as being a real Shaila Borer, then there's very, very little we're going to do in terms of this Rishalmi. It's not going to mean much for us, this Rishalmi.
Does Rishalmi hold, like, in elsewhere that you can't, like, the knots and other...
We don't know. The problem is there is no... This is the only statement in the Rishami. To the best of our knowledge, this is the only statement in the Rishami about peeling the garlics. So the Urcha Shulchan takes a different approach to Rishami. The Urcha Shulchan says, Rishami is against the Bavli. How can it be? Says the Urcha Shulchan, you misunderstood the Rishami. The Rishami never meant to peel the garlic. The Rishami meant the garlics were peeled ready from before Shabbos. But you left all the peels mixed in together with the garlics. Now you got a big pile of peels and garlics on the table. You start to patchka around and pull the peels from the garlics. Not that you're peeling the garlics. You're removing the peels from the pile of garlics. That's what the Yerushalmi said. So the Chashukha took all the fat of the Yerushalmi by saying even the Yerushalmi never said it. So whether you go the Mishnah Berurah's route or the Aruch HaShulchan's route, the Yerushalmi is going to mean not very much for us. Either according to the Aruch HaShulchan, the Yerushalmi never meant anything in the first place, or according to the Mishnah Berurah and the Rambam perhaps, that even if the Yerushalmi meant it, it's rejected La Halacha. But we're not going to go either one of those two routes, because otherwise we'll have nothing to talk about tomorrow. So hopefully tomorrow we're going to go with conventional wisdom before the Mishnah Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan, like the Beisayisif thought, like the Rishayim thought, that the Yerushalmi meant what it said, and it means it La Halacha. So we have to now begin to understand if the Yerushalmi really meant it, so that how is this going to play out in terms of defining Ochlam Solis and Solis versus stuff.